Then Naomi heard in Mabada that the Lord had blessed his people in Judah by giving them good crops again. So Naomi and her daughters-in-law got ready to leave Moda to return to her homeland. With her two daughters-in-law, she set out from places where she had been living, and they took the road that would lead them back to Judah. But on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back to your mother's homes, and may the Lord reward you for the kindness to your husbands and to me. May the Lord bless you with the security to another marriage." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they all broke down and wept. "No," they said, "we want to go with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Why should you go on with me? Can I still give birth to other sons who could grow up to be your husbands?" "No, my daughters return to your parents' homes, for I am too old to marry again. And even if it were possible, and I were to get married tonight, the bear's sons, then what? Would you wait for them to grow up and refuse to marry someone else?" "No, of course not, my daughters. Things are far more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord himself has raised his fist against me." And again they wept together, and Orpah kissed his mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung tightly to Naomi. "Look," Naomi said to her, "your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. You should do the same." But Ruth replied, "Don't ask me to leave you and turn back. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me severely if I allow anything but death to separate us." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. So the two of them continued on their journey. When they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was excited by their arrival. "Is it really Naomi?" the women asked. "Don't call me Naomi," they responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made my life very bitter for me. I went away full before the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent me tragedy upon me?"
Four preachers were discussing the merits of the various translations of the Bible. One said that he liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because he believed it was closer to the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked a contemporary version because of its up-to-date vocabulary. It just makes it easier to read and understand today, he said. The fourth minister was silent for a moment. Then, looking at the others, he said, "I like my mother's translation best." Surprised, the other three men said they didn't know his mother had translated the Bible. "Yes," he replied, "she translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." Many of us this morning will agree with the last minister. We had the privilege of growing up in a home where our mothers did exactly that. They translated the Bible into everyday living, and I certainly agree with this for my mother. She showed us through her life and example just exactly what it means to be a follower of Christ. As I consider all the moms in our church, I believe that many of you also fit this category. Thank you, mothers, for translating the Bible into everyday living. This is the example that we all need today. Naomi is an interesting example for us. Naomi was a mother-in-law who shared her faith. The story of Naomi begins earlier, that first part of the chapter there, and I didn't ask Angel to read those verses because they're a little bit challenging with all the names. But let's go back to verse 1 for just a moment and start at the beginning, because that's really where we see Naomi's example beginning. And that's, I'm considering Naomi as an example for us of a good mother. Now, I'm not saying that Naomi necessarily was a good mom all the time, nor did she do everything right. But that's the very reason why Naomi is a good example for us. It begins with Naomi and her husband living in Bethlehem, and a famine comes into the area. There's no food to eat. They hear that over in Moab there's food, that they can go to Moab and get something. And so Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons leave Bethlehem and go to the land of Moab. Now, let's stop here for just a second and kind of set the stage, because this foundation is important to understand why, when we get to verses 15 and 16, that those verses really stand out. The land of Moab, we believe that the Moabites are descendants from Lot, that I think it was Lot's oldest daughter that had the people of Moab descended from. And they settled into this area that's just across the Jordan River from Jericho and kind of to the south. Pretty good area, pretty good land there. But there was always conflict, it seemed, between the Moabites and the Israelites. And it would kind of go back and forth. There would be conflict, and then they'd get along with each other, and then there'd be conflict. And much of the reason for the conflict, I'll get into a little bit later, but it stemmed from their worship, from the gods that they worshiped. And it wasn't the true God, Jehovah. And so when Elimelech and Naomi made this decision to go to Moab, it was perhaps a little bit, maybe not necessarily a good decision, because they were going into an area to live with people that didn't believe in Jehovah. And so they made that choice. Not long after they got there, we're not told how long it was, but apparently fairly quickly, Naomi's husband died. She was left with two boys to raise, and she did the best that she could. Things were still difficult, and so rather than go back to Bethlehem, she stayed there in Moab and found wives for her sons. Wives from the Moabite people, which, of course, if you'll remember from the Old Testament law, they were told not to do. Nevertheless, her sons married these girls, Ruth and Orpah. After a period of about 10 years, we're told that both of her sons died, and neither of them had children. So here's Naomi, now left with two daughters-in-law that she's to care for. What to do? We're told that the famine was over in Bethlehem. Word came to Naomi that there was food to be had, that they could go back now. And so she packed up her things, left the land of Moab, and began heading back to Bethlehem. Along the way, she stopped and she looked at her two daughters-in-law and she says, "You know, it's really not good for y'all to go back with me because I have nothing to offer you. You're both young still. You can marry still. And in fact, because of the laws of the land and the way things were done then, they could return to their father's households and their fathers could find husbands for them. And everything would still be good. Everything would still be fine." And this is what Naomi encouraged them to do. One of the daughters, Orpah, eventually agreed, and she went back. But then there's Ruth. Ruth did not go back. And the question that we have to ask is why? And I believe that the answer is because of the example that Naomi had set before her. Verse 15 is telling, because in verse 15, Naomi looks to Ruth and says, "Hey, your sister-in-law went back to her people and to her God," or gods. There's some question as to the interpretation there, and I'll talk more about that in a moment. And she said, "But you should do the same." And this is when Ruth looks at her mother-in-law, and she responds with this famous verse, this famous response, "Don't ask me to leave. Don't ask me to turn back. Don't ask me to go back to them. Wherever you go, I'll go. Wherever you live, I'll live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." She goes on the next verse to say that wherever you die, that's where I'm going to die as well, and I'll be buried there with you. Now, that verse I believe to be the key to the entire book of Ruth, because that states how Ruth is responding to Naomi's example. Naomi had set an example before Ruth and Orpah during those 10 years that they lived with them. And they had seen the love that Naomi had for both Ruth and Orpah, as well as Naomi's sons and her husband. So let's break this verse down a little bit more to see how that example is more evident. "Don't ask me to leave." Naomi had set an example of faithfulness. She set this example of faithfulness to her husband and family when everything was wrong. And I think this is what really makes Naomi stand out to me, is because when we look at Naomi, Naomi is in the midst of a horrible situation. None of us wants to be there. Nobody wants to be in that position where your husband and both of your sons die in a period of 10 years, and you're left with nothing other than your two daughters-in-law. And so here's Naomi in this very difficult situation, and yet Naomi was faithful. When they were faced with famine in Israel, Naomi went with her husband and two sons to Moab. Again, I talked about how difficult how strained the relationships were between Moab and Israel. And so for them to go to Moab was maybe not the best move in the world, but that's where food could be found, and so that's where they went. Not long after they got there, as I mentioned, Elimelech died. And so it's an indication of the difficulty that they were to face. Naomi still remained faithful to her sons by finding wives for them. Now, perhaps this was out of expedience. It was what was best, she thought. Maybe it was because she didn't know what else to do. She couldn't go back to Bethlehem to find wives for her sons. And so She did the best she could in the situation that she was in. And so she found wives for her sons. Everything that Naomi did set an example before Ruth and Orpah. And Ruth is watching. She's watching what Naomi does. And so when Naomi said, "I'm going home," Ruth said, "I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I'll go." Now, that's a very important statement as well. Again, remember the difficulty between the two peoples. She knows that her mother-in-law is going back to Israel, going back to Bethlehem. And so for Ruth to agree to go back with Naomi means that Ruth knows she's going into a place where she will be an outcast. She will be considered a little bit lower than low. She will be perhaps even hated. And yet, because of Naomi's example of faithfulness, Ruth is willing to endure all of this in order to be with her mother-in-law. Not only was there the potential for hatred, but she's also willing to go to a place to where she knows she can't provide. She can't provide for herself. She can't help Naomi. Naomi can't provide for her. They're going to be in a very difficult situation. And yet, with facing all of this, Ruth is still willing to say, "Wherever you go, I'll go." And then she added, "Where you live, I'll live." Again, a reflection of Naomi's example. Naomi went with her husband to Moab. She followed him wherever he went. She was faithful to her husband. She was faithful to her family. And Ruth observed all of this. And so Naomi's faithfulness was a beautiful example to Ruth, who now follows that example. Where you live, doesn't matter what the house is going to be like. Doesn't matter if it's a big house, a small house. Doesn't matter if it has a good roof or no roof at all. Ruth is saying to Naomi, it does not matter where you go, where you live, what it's like, I will stand by your side. And so Ruth stands alone with Naomi. Orpah was not willing to make that commitment. She turned and went back home because that was easier, she thought. But Ruth understood the difficulty and the extent to which she was going. And because of the example of Naomi, she was willing to make this commitment. Where you live, I will live. And then she shows just how deep that level of commitment is. Your people will be my people. Think about what she's saying here. She is denouncing her heritage. She is denouncing her citizenship. She is no longer going to be considered, or no longer considering herself a Moabite or a Moabitess. She is now telling to Naomi, "I'm going with you, and I want to be an Israelite just like you are." This tells me that Naomi treated her daughters-in-law like family. I don't think that Naomi considered them as Moabites and her as an Israelite. I think Naomi considered both Ruth and Orpah as daughters. In fact, it's what she says, right? She says, "Daughters, you need to go back home." It's out of her love. It's out of her dedication. It's out of her faithfulness to her daughters-in-law, who, even though they're foreigners, even though they're Moabites, they're not Israelites, she still loves them as family. And I think that this is evident in what Naomi did and what she's doing now. And so for Ruth to say, "Your people will be my people," is to say then that she's renouncing her country, her people, even renouncing her family. And then she shows the true level of commitment when she makes that next statement. "And your God shall be my God." This was the primary point of contention between the Israelites and the Moabites. The Moabites worshipped Chemosh and Baal Peor. These were two of the gods, or perhaps one god. Some writers believe that the two names refer to the same god, that it's possible that the Moabites were monotheistic. In other words, they worshipped one god, just like Israel did. Israel also worshipped one god. Now, whether they worshipped one god or two gods is irrelevant, because the god or gods that the Moabites worshipped was not Jehovah. It was not the Lord God Almighty. And so for Ruth to look at Naomi and to make this statement, "Your God, Jehovah, Elohim, the Lord God Almighty, your God will be my God." She is now saying that I recognize through your example, through the life that you've lived, through what you have done for me, that your God is greater than the gods that I had in Moab. And that I'm recognizing through, should we say, your translation of the Bible, through your example, through what you did, through how you have lived, that your God is better. Naomi had kept her faith. Naomi had worshipped only Jehovah. Though it's not written in the book of Ruth, it's evident in her actions. It's evident in what she did. In fact, even when they get back to Bethlehem, and throughout the remainder of the book of Ruth, we see how Naomi followed the scriptures, followed the law that was given to us in scripture, and how she gives Ruth good advice, wise advice, so that Ruth can make good choices and would eventually find herself a husband. But all of these things show that Naomi was faithful not only in her relationship with God, but also in teaching about God to her sons and now to her daughters or her daughters-in-law. This did not fall on deaf ears when it comes to Ruth. For Ruth to abandon her gods and turn her eyes to the one true God of Israel was a tremendous step. Yet a step that spoke to the faithfulness and the example of Naomi. And Ruth is lifting her up and praising her for that example and thanking her for that example. Now, all of this is a good story and tells a wonderful example of a mother and a mother-in-law. But you might wonder, what does all this have to do with me? After all, this is an event that took place over 3,000 years ago. So what does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with you? Yes, it is ancient history, but it's not just that. It is relevant to us today. It is relevant because it shows an example. It's relevant because, well, let's finish the story of Ruth for just a moment. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version. Ruth met a man who was her second kinsman. There was another man that was a closer relationship to Naomi. And the way that things were supposed to work was that the next kinsman would redeem the land from the family if all of the men died, so that they could carry on the heritage for that family. And so Boaz, who was the second in line, was the one that Ruth met. And so he went to the first one and said, "You have a responsibility here to redeem the land of Naomi and of Elimelech. Are you willing to do that?" And he said, "Sure, yeah, I'll do that." And then Boaz threw the punchline. Boaz was kind of sneaky with this, I thought. He said, "Oh, by the way, that means you got to marry Ruth too." "Oh, I can't do that," the first one said. "Can't do that. No, no, can't do that. I'm already married. Already have a family. No, I can't do that." "Here, you do it. I'll let you have them." And which is exactly what Boaz wanted, because he had fallen in love with Ruth. And so Boaz redeemed the land, redeemed her, Naomi's property, but also married Ruth. Now, why is all that important? Because when we look at the end of the book of Ruth, we find that Ruth and Boaz together had a son, and his name was Obed. Y'all remember Obed? Well, Obed was the father of Jesse. Remember Jesse? Jesse was the father of David. You remember David? He was the second king of Israel. And so Ruth became the great-grandmother of King David because of her willingness to follow the example that her mother-in-law had set before her. Not only did she become the great-grandmother of the greatest king of Israel, but it also brought her into the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Faithfulness, obedience to an example. That is the principle and the story for us today. That's why it still matters to us today. The example that they set and that they gave shows us the importance of following that example. Can it be said of you that your example is the best Bible translation because it portrays Christ to a needy world? Will those who follow your example show others the Christ of the Bible? This isn't just for mothers, by the way. It's for all of us. We all have a responsibility to live a life before God that translates the Bible. In other words, that shows the Bible to the world around us. Do they see Christ in us? This testimony of Ruth certainly set the standard pretty high. Yet as we consider this standard, we see what God intends for all of us. His purpose for us is the same as it was for Naomi and Ruth. Ruth, by following Naomi's example, became the great-grandmother of David, king of Israel, and brought into the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Quite an accomplishment for a Moabite woman. But that wasn't why she accomplished this. It came because of Naomi's example, because of her willingness to surrender and to follow that example. Do you have such an example? Are you willing to surrender to that example? Are you such an example? Are you willing to obediently walk with God? Are you willing to be an example just like Naomi? Let's stand and bow our heads, please.